Please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 103. If you're using your Pew Bible, you can find this on page 637. Again, this is Psalm 103. Hear now the word of God. Of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and in its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And the Lord bless the reading and now the preaching of his word. When we consider the call here of this psalm to bless the Lord, what we're being called to do is to call him holy, to give him praise, and to give him thanks. That is what it means to bless God, to ascribe holiness to him, to give him the praise that is due to him, and all in a heart of thankfulness. Psalm 103 is seen by many as a companion psalm to Psalm 104 that follows. Both begin and end with the same call for our souls to bless the Lord. And each psalm, the reason for blessing the Lord is different. Psalm 103 we'll be looking at tonight calls us to bless God for his works of redemption, for who he is as Savior, for his faithfulness, his steadfast love. Psalm 104, which in a couple of weeks we'll look at, Lord willing, will call us to bless the Lord for his mighty acts of power displayed in his creation. So these two psalms together, a call to bless the Lord on the one hand for his saving works, and on the other hand for his creative works, his works of creation. But tonight we're looking at his works of salvation, that we're called to bless the Lord, to give him praise. And it's given to us in the form of benefits. And that's what we're called here tonight to do, is to bless the Lord for his gracious benefits. Now, as we look at this psalm, it can be divided up into four pieces, and we'll be looking at each piece individually. The first is verses 1 through 5, where we're called to bless the Lord for his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, when we think about blessing the Lord for his benefits, we might initially cringe at that idea of, are we to follow God in some way, because of what we get from him? Isn't that one of the things we looked at? We looked at in the book of Job how Satan accused God, saying, of course Job is going to follow you because you've given him all this stuff. He's bursting forth. You take it all away, God, and Job is going to curse you. The book of Job draws us to the point of God is to be our all. If everything is stripped away, God is to be still all that we have. Well, that's not really what the psalmist is getting at, what David is getting at. The benefits here are not something that we're seeking of God. It's benefits that we receive from him just as his people after he has redeemed us. These are the benefits that we receive in a relationship to him. It's not why we're seeking him, but it is a benefit nonetheless of being in a covenant relationship with God. And the benefits that we receive in these first five verses that he goes over, really from verses 3 to 5, as it's here in our Bibles this evening before us, it's who forgives all your iniquity, who heals your diseases. The first phrases, words of these phrases could be almost a name that is ascribed to God. We could read it, the forgiver of your iniquity, the healer of your diseases, the redeemer of your life from the pit, the crowner of your with steadfast love and mercy, the satisfier of you with good. This is who God is. And these are the benefits that we receive from him. And notice that they're not just things that we get from him, but it is God himself that is being referenced here as the benefit that we receive from having this covenant relationship with God. He forgives us of our sins, is the primary one. He is the one who heals us of various diseases. He is the one who has redeemed our souls. He has crowned us with steadfast love. And he satisfies us with good. Now, David mentions here, as when he calls him, you know, the one who redeems our life from the pit. Now, David endured many trials throughout his life. And he could be referring to the various trials that he faced. But it could also mean the pit that he's referencing here. The one who redeems us from death itself. The one who redeems us from the consequences of our sin. He is our Redeemer. And these facts, when we think about them, again, this is a call. He's calling upon his own soul not to forget these things. Not to forget and lose sight of what God is to us. And isn't this an easy thing for us to do? To forget the good that God is to us, that he himself and what he does and the goodness that he brings, the benefit that he is to us. It is easy in our daily lives to get caught up in our daily existence and lose sight of the real benefit that we receive from just God himself in being in that relationship with him. And thinking upon these things and meditating upon them, it renews our youth like that of the eagle. Now, David isn't saying that the eagles are continually renewed in their youthful vigor over and over and over again. What he's saying is as we look at the eagles, as we get to enjoy here in the Pacific Northwest from time to time, we can look out at the sky and we can see these majestic birds soaring through the air. There's a reason why not only our country, but various countries use these birds for the symbol of their nation. They're majestic. They're powerful. They glide through the air with ease. And they just look powerful when you just see a picture of them. And that's the image that David is drawing here. That thinking upon these benefits that we receive from God himself, the fact that he is the one who forgives us, he's the one who heals us, he's the one who has redeemed us and sustains us and crowns us. You know, thinking upon these benefits that we receive from God himself, it revives us. It renews our youth. It renews our energy like a soaring eagle. And so this is what we are first called to do, is we are called to bless God, to give him holy, to call him holy, to praise him, give him the praise he's due, giving him thanks for himself, as he is the benefit that we receive. In the next section of this psalm, in verses 6 through 14, we're called to bless the Lord for his compassion. In these verses, what we are shown by David is he's recalling to mind God's dealing with Israel in the Exodus account. He starts out these verses, "The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed." And then he made his ways known to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. And then verse 8 is nearly identical to Exodus 34, verse 6. And that's the scene where God is pronouncing his name before Moses. In verse 8, we see the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Nearly word for word, God's own introduction of himself to Moses. And so it brings to mind in these verses that whole account and the whole scene that is before us there in Exodus. The deliverance and the freedom that God brought his people who were oppressed. He heard their cry and he delivered them out of the hands of the Egyptians. But then verse 8, drawing our attention to that scene where God introduces himself and proclaims his name to Moses. You know, consider the context of that verse. It is immediately following the whole scene with the golden calf. You know, it's the Lord has given the law to Moses. There's an uproar in the camp. They go, they see the golden calf that the people of God have made after they felt Moses had tarried. Aaron gathered all their gold and they fashioned this golden calf and were celebrating it and making sacrifices to it. Moses crushes those first 10 commandments and there is punishment dealt to the people of Israel. But then God says, you know, you cut yourself 2 more tablets of stone, come back up on the mountain, and God writes a new set of the 10 commandments. It is in that context that God then declares that he is abounding in steadfast love and mercy. And what a profound image that is. You know, how many of us, if we were in God's places or God's place, after a people that we had just redeemed and saved, who so quickly turned away from us, would then want to proclaim mercy to those people? In this section of Psalm 103, this is what David is hearkening us back to. The compassion of God for his people. He did punish those who were to be punished. But he abounded in steadfast love for his people. And we read, continue on in these verses. And in verses 9 through 14, he will not always chide. Nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love to those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. We see that evidence in that scene in Exodus, but when we consider that, we honestly have to ask ourselves, are we really that different than the Israelites of old? Are we true and faithful to God as we should be? And the answer is no. But the wonderful truth is that our God is faithful. And that our God will maintain his steadfast love, and he is compassionate. And so we see then at the close of this section that the ties of a family being referenced there, as a father would be compassionate towards his own children. God remembers that we are just frail human beings. We are made of dust. And the contrast that is being made here is or shown here, that what is being shown to us is the great compassion and love God has towards things that are made of dust. But we are made in his image, and we are his people. He is our Father, and he maintains his steadfast love towards us in his compassion. And so this is the second reason we're called to bless the Lord in the psalm. We're called to bless him for the benefit received us in that relationship with God, that he is the benefit, that chief benefit. We're also called to bless him for the compassion that he shows us on a day-to-day basis. Next, we're called to bless the Lord for his eternal steadfast love. The next section of this psalm, beginning in verse 15, begins, "For a man, his days are like grass, he flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. Now, this seems like it does follow directly after 14 and carries with it that idea that we are but dust. But it's together with the following verses, 17 through 18, and that the fact that we are frail and our days are limited and we pass and we're forgotten is contrasted with the everlasting and eternal steadfast love of God. We are like grass. Our glory is short. We're like the flowers of the field that are beautiful one day but then gone the next. And the flower fades and decays, and its spot is not remembered. You know, its history remembers only a handful of people throughout the history of the human race in comparison. You know, the vast majority of humans will not be remembered by history. But one of the beautiful things that is being contrasted here as we think about our own frailty and our own weakness, it is contrasted with the everlasting steadfast love of God as he remembers his covenant, as he remembers his people. In Sunday school this morning, we looked at how the Sadducees came to Jesus and they gave him the test, trying to trip him up as far as the resurrection is concerned, because the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. And so they gave that account of, you know, a man has seven brothers, and he marries and he dies before having children. So according to the law, each brother marries the brother's wife to pass on their name, but each brother dies before having children. So whose wife then will she be in heaven? And so Jesus, in proving the resurrection, goes to Moses, that they held as authoritative, and reminds them of how God, in succeeding generations, introduces himself and is referenced as. He is the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. He is not a God, Jesus says, of the dead, but of the living. Now, these are three of the names in human history that have been preserved and that a lot of people know throughout the world. But what it shows us is that God does know his people, and Scripture is replete with that. He knows us individually. And although we may fail and we may our place not be remembered anymore in the pages of human history, God, in his steadfast love, everlasting steadfast love, remembers each and every one of his people. He knows each and every human being, really, that has lived and will ever live. And he knows us, his people, by name. And he calls us by name. Our frailty is here contrasted with the eternal, steadfast love of God. And as we consider these verses, they bring to mind the positive aspects of Exodus 34, 6 to 7. But how God's steadfast love endures from generation to generation, it is forever. And so the third thing that David calls us to bless the Lord for is his eternal, steadfast love. We're called to bless God for his benefits. We're called to bless him for his fatherly compassion towards us. And we're called to bless him for his eternal, steadfast love. And so this psalm ends in verses 19 through 22. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. And then four times, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. In these verses, all of creation is now called to bless the Lord. The psalm began with David himself kind of musing and calling his own soul, his own being, to bless the Lord for his benefits. And now that David has gone through and recounted what we have received from the Lord in his faithfulness, in his love towards us, now all of creation is called to bless the Lord. And that's seen, first of all, in verse 19, when his kingdom is established as being throughout all the earth. His dominion rules over all. His throne is in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. He is king of all the earth. And so then David calls on the mighty angels to bless the Lord. It's an aspect of God's creation that we don't regularly think about, but the spiritual realm and the heavenly of heavenlies, about how God is being praised day and night and attributed holiness and given the proper praise that he is due, and this happens from his servants, the mighty angels who do his word, and obey the word, the voice of his word. But then also bless the Lord, all his hosts. Now this is a word, hosts. It's a military term, and it encompasses not just angelic beings, but humanity as well. Those who are his people, who are of his hosts. So angel and human alike are called to praise and to bless the name of the Lord. And then the next level, all his works. So David has called the angels to bless the Lord. He's then included humanity in that call to bless the Lord. And now he is expanding that circle to include all of his creation. All of the beasts of the field, all of the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, all of his creation is now called to bless the Lord. And then finally he ends where he begins. O my soul, bless the Lord. In this psalm, David gives us three reasons for blessing God. Again, to bless the Lord is to attribute holiness to him. It's to give him praise. It's to give him thanks. And in this psalm, we've seen the salvation of God displayed through a recounting of the work of God in redeeming his people from Egypt. His continued faithfulness to his covenant and his steadfast love, despite our failings and our frailty. But then God himself presented as the chief good and benefit that we receive as our forgiver, our healer, the one who redeems us from the pit. And so, brothers and sisters, as this psalm calls us to, let us then, day to day, bless our God, not forgetting all the benefits that he has so graciously given to us. Amen. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your benefits. Lord, we don't want to serve you as those who are just seeking benefits from you, but the fact remains that you are our benefit. You are our inheritance. You are the one who forgives us, redeems us, and saves us. And you, Lord, are our chief good. We thank you, Father, that you have, in your mercy, redeemed us from the pit. And you have established a covenantal relationship with us. And you are faithful, Lord, to that covenant, even when we are faithless. And you love us, Lord, and have compassion on us, as a father does his children. And you, Lord, though we come and go and we fade as the flowers of the field, you, Lord, your love for us endures forever, and we give you praise. We thank you, Lord, for the benefits that we have received from you, and may we not forget them and walk giving you praise for all that you have done for us. In the glorious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.